The series, as you know, over this year has been Finding Father on the Fathering of God, and today is Mother's Day. And I'm just going to, just for a few minutes, draw your focus to the fact, and this is not a message, I haven't prepared a message this morning, it's just more a string of some scriptures by way of meditation, but in the image of God created he them. And I think Bo was dealing with this last Sunday, for those of you who were here. The image of God brilliantly distilled equally through male and female. So, which is why Scripture, as it deals with the fathering of God and the distinctives of the fathering of God, is absolutely strong and unabashed about the way that it uses, analogically, it uses the ministrations and the character and the distinctives of, equally of a mother and mothering to make sense of the heart of God. And again, it's interesting for me today because my testimony very much is not just of experiencing the fathering of God through these circumstances, but you experience, if you like, the mothering of God in this. And just on Mother's Day, just as a sort of a little foundational basis, spiritual basis for it, let me just remind you, I'm going to read some scriptures. You don't need to turn to them. You'll just, no time, but we'll concentrate more by just listening. This issue of the mother and the offspring, mother-offspring, becomes such a crucial image in Scripture for divine care, the nature of divine care and protection. Just listen to these scriptures. Deuteronomy 32:11. And of course, Deuteronomy opens with one of the strongest Old Testament fathering images. You remember that? We looked at it, I've mentioned it, where God says to his people, I have borne you like a father. And the idea literally is between the shoulder blades, like the father holds a child between the shoulder blades. It's God saying, you are between my shoulder blades, my son, my daughter. But the book ends like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. I've loved that these last few days. I don't know if you watch National Geographic movies or wildlife movies, but have you ever seen these footages of certain bird, ducks comes to mind, where you can't help but laugh at what happens when you watch a mother duck taking care of ducklings. If you've ever taken little kids to watch ducks and ducklings, you sit giggling watching it, because they're all sort of discoordinated and they're sort of going around in circles trying to find out how to go straight, and they're getting, you know, into all sorts of pickles. And you see these wildlife films where these young birds actually sort of, you know, the nests are deliberately put on branches over water so that when the things fall out, they'll at least land in the water, you know, if mother can't get to them in time to catch them. But it's all this genius of God's creation, of this manifestation, if you like, of his personhood throughout all creation, of his care. And the thing I love about this is this mothering that says it hovers over its young. That's great, you know, we all need the mother to hover. But then obviously it spreads its wings to catch them. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, where did they go? And it's this tangential life of the child, you know. We all know if we have kids, they all get into places they shouldn't go and all the rest of it. But it's not just this hovering aspect of mothering. It's this capturing and carries them on its pinions. It's like, I love this fussiness of God. I love this fussiness of this mothering of the heart of God of us in our sort of fledgling or sort of duckling total irregularities, our eaglet irregularities, where it's like we are a full-time job for God sometimes, aren't we? And yet he's got everybody on his radar. Oh, how vast is the mind and heart of God. I love the way John Dawson puts it. What you do is you take whatever in the world of science is the smallest measurement that can be made, to whatever multi-billionth of a second it happens to be. And then you think, God can think actively about every single person on the human planet, every one of whatever that smallest millisecond is. Oh, the mind and heart of God for us. And that relates too back, not just to the mothering, but to the fathering care of God. I love this. And that's why in Scripture, the shadow of his wings image becomes the great image of the image of God, the mothering heart of God distilled. Psalm 17:8, which actually is a direct quote of the scripture I just read, because David read his scriptures. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 36:7, we sing this in our worship. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. This is the mother image. Psalm 57:1, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Isn't this lovely? Till the disaster has passed. What a great place to be. What a great place of mother protection. Psalm 61:4. In fact, that story reminds me, I'll never forget reading the story of a barnyard fire, a true story, where in the aftermath they found these burned carcasses of mother hens. And there was one that was absolutely burned and charred, and yet, when they moved it, underneath were live chickens. You know, the fire had passed. You know, the mother heart had taken it into himself. By the way, God has taken into himself. He has taken into his heart. He has taken into himself every consequence of every evil and sin that would be against us. He is a refuge. Psalm 61:4. No wonder the psalmist says, having experienced this intimacy with this mothering of God, I long to dwell in your tent forever and shelter there. This is interesting to me. There's something about mothering in life that is such an important place of comfort, but you can get to the point where you cross a line where it ceases to be a legitimate place of comfort. And that is why the relationship between a mother and a father are so important. That's why there is great loss in any family when there's a parent missing, because there are distinctives of how God has revealed himself through a mother and father that are equally crucial for the safe formation of the child, but not just the formation of the child. The parent is in loco deus, so it's important for their understanding of who God is and the heart of God. And it's very interesting, I think I dealt with this in one of the series, that what is so unique to fathering is there comes a point where almost, I mean, this is a generalization, but where fathers, you almost have to take the kid away from the apron string to push him into service. Because although that is an important place of nurture to be, it, even as good as it is, it can't remain our stopping place. Otherwise, it starts to affect our life. So I really relate to the psalmist here. And he says, this is so good. I would like just to stay here. But it's that fathering heart of God that presses us, keeps pressing us out to service. The service and the comfort are not contradictory, but one without the other cannot function, because we can't just work without comfort, because we become the workers whose hearts get hardened. Psalm 63:7, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings, and my soul clings to you. And here's the mother's right hand that upholds me. Psalm 91:4, I love that your hand upholds me, because so often in Scripture the right hand is the strong hand of the Father God. But this is a context of mothering, shadow of the wings, which equally talks about the strong right hand. Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers. I mean, give me a break. I mean, when you are that vulnerable, are you going to choose feathers? When the need is that great, or the disaster is that great, or the enmity is that vicious, who's going to choose feathers? That's what I love about that. Let me just tell you, the softest delicacy of touch of the living God is more powerful to know and feel than the strongest that any other system or man can do for you. It's like I often say to people, you know, I find myself often praying to people and, you know, they just wish God would whack them over the head with a 2x4. And let's admit, sometimes we pray that for people too, but I found myself, often you're praying for, and you just want them to, in sort of image terms, just feel the softest breath of the living God on the back of their neck. That's all. Just a feather of his presence. It's lovely. I mean, the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, of course, is one of the great books where we see this shadow of wings, this power of the feathers of God. The reason I love that is that there's this unbelievable presentation of disaster that we need protected from, but still the delicacy and just that touch of God. And how many of you know when there's pain? I may be talking to someone in church this morning. When you're in a place of pain, I know I'm talking to somebody who's oppressed this morning. See, oppression in scriptures, as we've dealt with before, is about bruising. It's the image of bruising. When the prophet talks about those who are oppressed, those who are bruised, and bruised people can't be touched. Have you noticed that? When you're badly bruised, someone goes, you know, how are you doing? Ah, you know, if I'm glad I did that, I've just actually ripped my rotator cuff. So if I'd done that, I'd have actually, thank goodness I didn't hit that arm. So, but you can't be touched. So it is about delicacy. There's so much in our life in terms of our need of the parenting of God that could only take feathers, couldn't it? I mean, if you're someone dealing with an issue of that kind of deep bruising in your life, it just almost, maybe you can't bear to be touched. I just pray, Lord, right now for whoever that person is, that you'll come with the feather of your wings and they will not be beyond the call and the reach of your touch. So all I'm saying, when you do a study on this, this mother image, this offspring image, it's a great image of divine protection and care. But secondly, it's also an image in Scripture of some really deep divine pain. Isaiah 1:2, I reared children. This is the mother image. I reared children and I brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. It's the mother heart of God. It is like, all these years I led you. I cared for you. I fed you. You know, you probably read it in the newspapers like I have and the mags. We're now living in a culture where we're talking about legalized divorce, children being able to legally divorce their parents. We're dealing with a culture where there has never been more rejection of the parent by the child. It's unbelievable pain that we are living in and called to minister to. And God is expressing his heart in this way, like he's the sort of rebelled against mother, he's the divorced mother. None of that really, whatever you did for me, God, you know, it didn't really matter. And it's just reminding us that when we live like that, or we get to that place of forgetfulness of what the Lord has done, or that's why the Lord keeps saying, don't forget how I've led you all these years. Because that forgetfulness becomes part of our backsliding. So it's also an image of divine pain. It reminds us of God's heart for when we choose to not honor his superintending care. A third image, which is almost implied in what I've just said, is it's the image in Scripture, the mothering image, to describe God's compassions and comforts. Not that the father image doesn't. We've seen in Luke, the prodigal son, how deeply it does that. But Isaiah 49:13, the Lord comforts his people and will have motherly compassion on his afflicted ones. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Yeah. Yeah, she can. There is failure in mothering. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. By the way, just let me add a little parenthesis in there. Mother's Day is not the happiest day for everybody. I was at yesterday was, again, very interesting. I was moving from dealing with all this stuff in New Zealand, and then I had to jump in the car and go and do a wedding. And the Lord was gracious. It was, you know, because you're promoting other people's joy. And it turned out a good place, to be. But I was at a table, and I end up having a conversation with a woman who opens up about what an awful day Mother's Day was for her. And such pain, such broken relationship, such unresolved enmity sometimes. And Scripture acknowledges that earthly mothering fails. You know, you won't talk to a mother or father in the natural that doesn't think we've failed. We all think we've failed. I've told you in my testimony, I have sought the forgiveness of all my kids at some point for something or other. To one point with one of them, they just said, "I don't want to hear about that again." But we need that from love and forgiveness from our kids, because none of us are the perfect mother and father. So Scripture acknowledges that mothering can fail. Can I just pray for that right now? Lord, we just, as we gather to you, again with our lives different shapes, if that's for anyone here, Lord, we know how painful these generational issues are. There are some of us, Lord, that are beyond being able to do anything about some of that stuff. But I pray for the feathered peace of Christ to come into those situations. And on top of that, Lord, I pray that there will be redemption. There will be redemption. There will be recovery. There will be healing. There will be a restoration of the relationship between fathers and children, as well as mothers and children. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and again, fascinating. Another woman I ended up speaking to at this wedding rehearsal told me her story on Mother's Day, and she had ended up being able to go to New Jersey to see her mother. She said, "I went to church and we took Eucharist together." She said, "By the time I got home, she was dead." And she was telling me, and that was an expression of, there is a God who has grace, and I was able to finish well with her. It's amazing, all these stories, isn't it, that are the heart of God. Okay, just a couple more things, and then I'll let you go to Mother's Day. It's also an image, number four, it's an image of the parental heart. Hosea 11:3, "It was I, says God, who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms." Isn't that lovely? It's the image of the mother taking the kid by the arms or by the hand. God says, "That's how I've taken you. I led them with cords of human kindness." Now, in Hebrew etymology, the idea of grace and compassion is very much related to the emotions of maternal yearning. It's often related to the image of the womb. Isaiah 66, that's why Scripture has a lot of imagery about birth and delivery. "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." Psalm 131, 2, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." It's basically someone saying, how are you in God? Who is God? Well, I feel like just a well-breastfed baby. You know, that's basically what it's saying. There's actually a lot of discussion about the very name for God, El Shaddai. There's a lot of etymological discussion about this, but even within that meaning of El Shaddai, there is a mother nuance in that. Of almost in some places, you couldn't translate it any other way than as God being the breasted one. You know, this amazing revelation of the God who weans and nurtures. But it's not a weak image. It's a powerful image of comfort. So there we are. I'll just leave it there. But all I'm saying is there are these wonderful scriptures. So while we're in a father series, it's not to the exclusion of this mothering heart of God, image of God through male, through female, equally. And my testimony this morning is, in the middle of experiencing the fathering of God, I've really been so grateful for the mothering of God of my soul. and my family, and the way that fathering and mothering has been expressed through you, my family and friends, in these days. So let's continue to know we have access, right, to the shadow of his wings. And let's not forget the way he has led us, the way we were nurtured, when we did need to be bottle-fed, and if I can put it reverently, breast-fed. And there may be someone here in church this morning who still needs that experience of the weaning of the Lord, that place of contentment in God, where we're not striving for our place in the family, or we're not so self-conscious about who we are or who we have to be, and know that there is an acceptance in the context of the shoulder blades of God as Father and the wings of God, who's unashamed to present himself as our mother. Happy Mother's Day to you, mothers. Fathers, keep making it a great Mother's Day. We live in a culture where there's great injustice to mothers. It's amazing that most of the organizations that deal with issues, it's always mothers against drunk drivers. Where are the fathers against drunk drivers? Probably because they're drinking too much themselves. So we honor you today, but I also want us to honor the dispositions of the heart of God that make for your good mothering, but make for good mothering for us all. And let me close by saying this. Scripture talks in the New Testament about the mothering of the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul describes himself as a nurse and as a mother. And I'm just going to say, let's keep growing together, not only where we want to be well-fathered together, but that the DNA of our spiritual life together does include that nurturing, that nourishing, that is such a gift of God to us. And as I was thinking about this over this weekend, I realized that the majority of crucial encouragement in my life at strategic times has, interestingly enough, come through some key godly women, often more than it has been through godly men. I have thoughts about that. I think it's much harder for guys. I think we lag behind women in the gift of encouragement, in the instinctive capacities to spontaneously put ourselves in that place of identification. And we want to mature in that, in our masculinity, in our maleness. It's an invitation of God to us. But I guess I just want to honor publicly the nurture and the nourishment that comes to people like me through holy women who make so real to me not just what the bride of Christ looks like and feels like, but also what that nurturing feels like as God expresses his image through the woman in such a unique way. So that's also a commendation to all of you sisters, whether you have children or not, who nonetheless spiritually mother in your generation, including guys like me. Thank you. Let's pray.